Would you stand with me this morning? I want you to stand. I want to pray while you're standing so that if there's any sleep inside of you, it can be removed right now so we can be attentive. Would you bow with me, Father? I thank you again for this summer. Thank you for the change of routine. Thank you for the times, the breaks that people are having, the times of rest. Lord, the weather that we've been having. Thank you for the rain last Sunday that wrecked our picnic. We give you glory and praise for that. And the blessing it is on the crops and the fields. And Father, I thank you again as we are heading into harvest, as we prayed last week. I thank you for the abundance of harvest over the farmers represented in our church, that there would be blessing. There would be abundance. They would be like Isaac in a season of famine. They would prosper. And Father, we just declare that and we believe that. And so, Lord, as we enter into this time today, into your word, I first of all pray a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, would you take literal possession of my mind and my mouth again? I only want to say what I hear you say and do what I see you do. And I thank you in these days, Father, you are speaking with clarity. I thank you that your children, we are hearing with clarity. I thank you, you are going to be saying things this morning that are not going to come out of my mouth, but your children are going to hear you. Rhema words that are specific for our life. I thank you, Father, we will hear them, we will capture them, we will believe them and be obedient to them because we believe a single word from you can change everything. And so we commit this time. I plead the blood of Jesus over this building. With the authority you've given, I bind up every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and pervert the word that's going to be sown. And I thank you, Father, for the understanding that will happen here today because of you. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody in agreement said, amen. Would you please be seated? Every Sunday, at the end of service, I invite you to stand and I invite you to receive the blessing of the Lord. And I release that over you every time. We do that in some of the smaller meetings. Does anybody know where in the Bible that blessing is found? Numbers chapter? Numbers chapter? Who's your pastor? Thank you, Google people. That is, it used to be in the old days, you take your Bible, we had the sword drill, now it's the Google drill, right? They pull out their phones, whip it up, and who can do it the fastest? Well, yeah. Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22. Would you turn there with me this morning? Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22. Under the priestly blessing, beginning at verse 22, the Lord said to Moses, this is the Lord's instruction, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. This is how you are to bless them. And I want to read it. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. That is the blessing. The end of that, and look at verse 21 or 27, we don't say this because it's not part of it, but it says this. This is the words of God still. Say that blessing so they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Say that so I can put my name on the Israelites and with my name on them, I will bless them. I got to tell you, for some time the Lord has been laying on my heart to speak to you about the blessing. And probably next week, maybe the week after, I'm going to do that. But today I want to begin with sharing with you some of the things that over the years the Lord has awakened inside of me regarding the blessing of the Lord. Regarding the blessing. And I want to tell you, the Lord has just laid in my heart this morning, I am not going to preach exhaustively on every scripture I give you and all of that stuff. What the Lord is asking me to do, I'm going to give you a number of verses. I'm going to give you a number of stories. I'm going to throw some things out there so that you are able to take that on your own over the next number of weeks. And let me just say this way, for some of you, for the rest of your life, as you begin to study and understand and get into the blessing, understanding the power of the blessing, what the blessing is, how we receive it, how we give it away, what we're to know about the blessing and what we're to believe about the blessing. Can I tell you, you already know this, but as children of God, we are to be a blessed people. In fact, let me change it. As children of God, we are a blessed people. In fact, can you just say it with me? I'm blessed. I am blessed of the Lord. Does that seem strange to say? By the end of this, I'm believing in a couple of weeks, it'll be very easy to say. I love how Keith Moore, did any of you have a chance to listen to any of the Believers Conference from this year? Any of you get a chance? Yep, if you haven't, I encourage you, it's still on there. Some powerful messages there. I love every time we've been down there, Keith Moore, he makes a statement. He says, we are so blessed. In fact, he says, we are so blessed, even the blessed call us blessed. That's his statement. I love that. This morning, I want to share with you some scriptures regarding the blessing that I want to encourage you to write down. Take the time to study on your own until it becomes Rhema word for you. And I want to share a number of stories with you that the Lord has used to impact my life and awaken the reality and the power of the blessing. And I want to just say this right off the top. None of these are in order. I didn't put this chronological. Yeah, God did things. He built and just continued to grow in my life and still is. None of this that I'm going to share with you is chronological, but it's all things God used and has laid upon my heart for today. I do need to tell you, though, and I want to begin with this, one area of obedience that this last January, as I was waiting on the Lord, the Lord has never had me do this before, but the Lord said, Colin, I want you every day, when you and Jane are together, when you have your quiet, you have your prayer time, even if you're not together, I want you to do it. He said, Colin, I want you to be obedient in speaking this and declaring this over you and your marriage every day. How many of you have heard of the prayer Jabez? Okay, almost all of us. Can any of you tell me where it is? In the Bible, what's the address? Prayer Jabez, where's it found? I seriously am going to talk to your pastor. I'm going to do that. Can anybody tell me, have you read the book, The Prayer of Jabez, by Bruce Wilkinson? Any of you read that book? Just raise your hand. Yep, little tiny book. We have it at library. I encourage you, if you want to write that down. Would you turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 4? And keep your Bible open because we're going to be looking at a pile of scripture this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter 4. The Lord laid in my heart this past year in January, and he said, 1 Chronicles. Did I say 2? Yeah, sorry, 1 Chronicles 4. I read the book. I have read the scripture many times over, many times over. And when the Lord said, Colin, this year, every day, I want you to begin praying this and declaring this over you and over your marriage, I said, okay. Didn't understand why until later in the year things began happening and Jane and I began understanding why. But 1 Chronicles chapter 4, in the middle of all of these genealogies and names and families, I love this. It begins in verse 9. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. That's quite a statement. And his mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Can you imagine when you're growing up and you said, Mom, why did you name me? And she looked at you and said, because you were such a pain. Wouldn't that be a wonderful reason for your name? That was Jabez. I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God, to the God of Israel, and said this, Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. This is Jabez praying for himself. God, that you would bless me. Can I just ask you something? Is that a wrong thing for us in our prayer time when we're quietly before the Lord praying for all the things in the world and our people and our kids and grandkids, and you say, God, would you bless me? Bless me, God. I'll show you in a second, it's not wrong to do that. Bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free of pain. Isn't that an amazing prayer? Let me just ask you a question right now. Don't raise your hand. How many of you could say in your life, in every area of your life, you are free from pain? Wow. Pain physically, pain emotionally, pain financially, pain relationally, pain in all kinds of areas. Father, would you bless me, keep me from harm so that I can be free from pain? I want to tell you, almost every day in this year, we have prayed that prayer. Father, would you bless us and enlarge our territory? Father, would you keep us from harm and keep us free from pain? The other part, let your hand be with me. Keep me from harm so I'll be free from pain. That prayer of Jabez has become real in this year in our life in a way that it has never been made real before. I will never forget years ago at the Believers Conference, Kenneth Copeland was preaching one of his messages, and he was talking about the contrast between the blessing and the curse. And it was a powerful statement. He was going, I want to share with you, and I want you to show scripturally the difference between a person who is blessed and a person who is under the curse. And I want to share these two scriptures with you. We're going to look at them briefly. But as we're going through this whole thing, I want you to be aware in your life, and I want you to ask the question, Lord, is there any area of my life where I am still being affected by the curse? And as we're going through this, I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to awaken you. If there's areas where there's curse there, that can be broken off, because what God is wanting is for us to be under the category of, I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed woman. We are a blessed family. And let me just say again, can I just correct this for all of those out there who are saying it? When we talk about blessing and prosperity, Kenneth Copeland made the statement, he said, finance is the lowest level of God's blessing and prosperity in a person's life. It is the lowest level. Can I tell you what the enemy has done in the church? He has taken what has been the lowest level and made it the highest and blasted every person out there who speaks blessing and prosperity. It's all about money. No, if they listen closely, they would go, it's almost nothing about money. I'll tell you what you know. There's some incredibly wealthy people out there who are not blessed. Four marriages gone, living now. They're sick with cancer. The kids haven't talked to them forever. That life is a disaster. They got piles of money. Would you call that blessed? They're taking drugs to sleep every night. Piles of money. That doesn't buy peace up here and in here. Would you call that prosperous? I'm going to share a message with you, Jane. I listened to it last week. Jane and I were talking about this week by Keith Moore. I mentioned it last week a little bit. Do you remember on the board, I asked where Keith asked the question, he goes, you get into a circumstance, there's two types of people. One who goes, what am I going to do? The other one goes, God, what are you going to do? Grand Canyon between the two. That comes out of a message that Keith was talking about walking, you and I walking in the rest that God wants for us, and going, if we're not walking in rest, if we're not walking in peace, if we're not, we're in disobedience. He's going, we're in sin. It was a powerful word. We're going to show that sometime in church, because I believe we as a body need to hear that. Would you turn to me to Jeremiah 17? This is one of those messages I will never forget. I have gone back to over and over and over in my life. Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning at verse 5. You wouldn't think that in Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, where he's talking about disaster and talking about all kinds of stuff, that all of a sudden in the midst of it, that this little gem would come out of it. But beginning in verse 5, look at what it says. It says this. This is what the Lord says. And I want you to hear this clearly. And again, we're talking, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you if there's areas he wants to change or grow. He said, this is what the Lord said. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. A person who trusts in man, a person who trusts in their own strength, their own wisdom, their own intellect, their own ability, God is saying, that man is cursed. And whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wasteland. He will not see prosperity when it comes. I got to tell you, when I read that and he talked about it, he said this. He goes, God is bringing prosperity into every person's life. The cursed man won't see it. The blessed person will see it. There is a veil that lies over the mind of the cursed. They cannot see the blessing. They cannot see the prosperity. They cannot see the good. They can't see it. When prosperity comes, the cursed one doesn't see it. And they miss it. It says he will dwell in parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. That, we're not talking physical condition, we're talking spiritual, emotional, relational condition, living in a desert, living in a parched land, living with brokenness, living alone. Look at verse 7. But, do you remember hearing it depends where you put your butt, right? But, blessed is the man who does what? Trusts in the Lord. Not in man, not in themselves, not in their own ability, not in their strength. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Whose confidence is where? In him. He will be like a tree planted where? By the water, sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Can I just say this to you? The blessed man does not fear. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. He never fails to bear fruit. Can I say to you, the blessed man has no fear. Why? Because the confidence is in the Lord. I want you to take that scripture and I want you to chew on it, meditate on it, look on it. Would you flip back to Psalm chapter 112? Psalm 112. The psalmist writes this in 112. These are the two passages that Kenneth Copeland gave. Jeremiah 17, Psalm 112 says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who does what? What does it say? Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. The blessed man, his children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his home, and his righteousness endures forever. Look at this. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and the righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never. How often? Never. Surely the blessed man will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of what? Bad news. Let me say it again. There is no fear in a blessed person. He will have no fear in bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no, what? Fear. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. Look at verse 10. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. The contrast between the cursed and the blessed. Craig Hill, Ancient Paths. We have talked about him for years, the impact his ministry had on our church and on our lives, still having impact. The Ancient Paths ministry, they changed the name of it. What is it called again? The Blessing Weekend? Blessing and Curse? I forget. They named it the Blessing. But the Ancient Paths ministry, talking about the blessing, teaching about the blessing. The ministry time was powerful. The teaching was powerful. I want to just share with you two stories in particular that I have never forgotten as he has talked about the blessing. How many of you know the name Jonathan Edwards? Just raise your hand. Jonathan Edwards. Yep. If you haven't heard about him, you missed history in school. Jonathan Edwards, born on October 5, 1703, 200 and some years ago. How many of you know the name Max Dukes? Max Dukes. What do you know about Max Dukes? Cursed. So here's what Craig Hill talked about. Max Dukes and Jonathan Edwards were contemporaries, both born in the early 1700s. Jonathan Edwards was an orphan. He was adopted. Jonathan Edwards came to know Christ early in his life. Max Dukes, who was a contemporary, did not know the Lord, walked as a non-believer his entire life. For some reason, somehow, somebody tracked both of their lives over about a 150-year period of time or longer just to see the difference between the two. Let me give you just a couple of things. Craig Hill wrote down a whole pile of them. Jonathan Edwards, 1703, about 150, 200 years they followed his life. Jonathan Edwards, in his family line, down line, almost 1,000 descendants coming out of Jonathan Edwards in that period of time. Almost 1,000. In his family line, it talked about the number of doctors, the number of lawyers, the number of statesmen, the number of children that were born, the families, the health of the family, the number of pastors, the number of missionaries that came out of Jonathan Edwards' line. Under the blessing, the positive impact on society as compared to costing society nothing. They contributed to society in a powerful way. Max Dukes, without the Lord, under the curse. Max Dukes' family line was just over 300 people in the same period of time. Just over 300. Max Dukes, they went through and wrote down the number of drunkards, the number of men who were in prison, the number of people in Max Dukes' line that committed suicide, the number of people who divorced, had broken relationships, the number who struggled with poverty, the number of murderers that were in Max Dukes' line. He went through and he talks about the amount that it cost society for Max Dukes and his dependents under the curse, what it cost society as compared to contributing society. He looked and he went, the contrast between those under the blessing and those under the curse, he goes, it couldn't be clearer. Grand Canyon between the blessed and the cursed. The power of the blessing. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 27? Again, I'm giving you scripture. We're just looking at it, but I'm leaving it with you. Genesis chapter 27. All of us know the story of Isaac and his blessing over Jacob and Esau. Beginning at verse 27, and we know that when Rebekah heard that Isaac, and I just want to say this off on the side, I find it interesting. Isaac felt like he was going to be dying, and so he wanted his two sons to come in. Actually, he wanted Esau to come in as the oldest and give them blessing. Rebekah heard about it. Esau goes out in the field to get his goat or his lamb, or no, his deer, to make venison for Isaac. Rebekah heard about this, took Jacob, we know the story, killed a sheep, put the sheepskin on his arm, put Esau's clothes on him. He made Rebekah made the stew really quickly. He said, Jacob, go in there. And Jacob's going, he's going to figure out who I am. He goes, no, he's blind enough. Can I just tell you, do you know that when Jacob went away to Laban and got married and had 12 kids and more and came back, do you know that Isaac was still alive? I want you to look at that in Scripture. Here he is. He calls his two sons, his one son, because he wanted to bless him before he died. Jacob goes away. 20 years later, he comes back. Isaac is still living. We're not going to talk about that, but I want you to think about that. But here, this is what it says. Verse 27, look at it. It says, he went to him, this is Jacob, and Isaac kissed him. When Isaac caught smell of his clothes, which were Esau's clothes, he blessed him, and he said, I don't want to read that, but it says he blessed him. Now, I want you to hear really clearly, we're going to talk again, when we talked about the curse before, when you curse something, you don't go, I curse you. Okay, that's not how you curse. When a parent curses a child, they don't go, child, I curse you. They don't do that. What they do is they go, child, you're so stupid. That's a curse. Or the parent goes, you drive me nuts. That's a curse. Or the parent says to the child, what's wrong with you? That is under the label of a curse. Or, and we've heard it, you've heard parents say, we've heard it in our family line, we've got it, where a parent said to the kid, you wrecked my life. You wrecked my life. When I got pregnant with you and you wrecked my life. They didn't go, I cursed you, but the words were a curse. We understand that. We've done a whole series on the curse. Look at the blessing. Isaac blessed Jacob, spoke over him what he believed he was speaking over Esau. And I want you to hear this. He spoke the words thinking it was to this person, but the power of the words stuck with the one he spoke it to. I want you to go back and look at that story, because after Jacob leaves and Esau comes back, brings his deer, gives it to his dad and said, Dad, give me the blessing. Isaac is just shaking because he goes, you were just here. I just gave you the blessing. Esau goes, that wasn't me. Isaac goes, well, then who was it? And Jacob goes, my little brother, he deceived you. And then he goes, Dad, give me a blessing. And Isaac goes, I already gave it away. I got nothing left for you, son. Can I ask you a question? Is there power in the blessing even when you're deceived, when you release the words over, is there power in that? He said to Esau, he goes, I got nothing for you. You will serve your younger brother for the rest of your life. Can I say this, Jude? I don't believe that we have a revelation of the power of the blessing that can come out of our mouth in the lives of people, in areas in our life, in our finances, in our relationship, in our business, I don't think we understand the power of the blessing. Can I tell you why? I believe if we did, you know what we would do a lot more of? And I just want to release this to you again. We're going to go back and we're going to look at this, but when we do the blessing in Numbers that we looked at the beginning, this is what God said. God said, I want you to release this blessing over them because that will put my name on them and then I'm free to bless them. When we bless things, God is putting his name on what we bless and it opens the door for the blessing to come. Can I just give you one little crazy one? Anybody here ever raised chickens? Anybody? Yep. Anybody here really like chickens? Yep. Anybody here like eating chickens? Okay, all the hands go up. Yeah, they do. How long do chickens normally lay eggs? How long do they do that? A year. A year is their prime, right? After that, they begin going down the whole deal. I have chickens in my coop right now that are 3 years old, laying hens. I want you to just hear this. I want you to hear this because I practice this in really weird ways. But every day when I go into my chickens, when I have done this, and I've done this, I do this every day. Every day when I go into my chickens and I water them and I feed them, I release a blessing over my chickens. I bless my chickens. when my chickens should no longer be laying, my chickens have been laying for 2 years longer than they should be laying. Now, you might think this is really dumb. But can I tell you something? When somebody does not have the blessing, they're not able to have children or they don't produce. When they have a blessing, do you know that after Sarah died, Abraham had Ishmael and then had Isaac, right? He was 100 when he had 100 when he had Isaac. He was 87 when he had Ishmael. Do you know that when Sarah died, that Abraham got married again and he had how many more kids? Can I just say this to you men really clearly? If you're a blessed man, it may just keep happening. We won't talk about that, Jane. Thank you. I want you to go back and look at this story. I want you to take the time to look and see when Isaac released the blessing, when he released the words, even under deception, those words had the power and had full effect in Jacob's life, coming out of him, the 12 sons of Israel and the whole nation of Israel coming out of that blessing that he could not pull back. He could not give it to Esau. He had nothing left for Esau, but the power of the blessing landed on Jacob. And we're living with the fruit of it today. The power of the blessing. I want you to write down a name. Would you write down the name Mary Ruth Swoop? Mary Ruth Swoop. Mary is normal. Ruth is normal. Swoop is S-W-O-P-E. Mary Ruth Swoop. If you are not writing it down, I'm going to ask you at the end of this message, the lady's name I ask you to remember. Mary Ruth who? Swoop. Mary Ruth Swoop, the reason I remember her is she wrote a book called Bless Your Children Every Day. You've heard me talk about it over the years. I read that book when our kids were little. That book changed my life in the area of the blessing. Mary Ruth Swoop was a grandmother who lived on the west coast of the United States, and her children were living there, and she had grandchildren. And all of a sudden, her daughter with her grandchildren, the husband got a job on the east coast, and they moved to the other end of the country. And here she is on the West Coast. Her grandkids are on the East Coast. And she's going, God, how do I be a blessing? How can I impact spiritually my grandchildren's lives? We're a country apart. And she's praying to God, going, God, how do I do this? When they were here, they could come over. I could feed them. We could talk. I could pray for them. How can I do that over there? God laid on her heart and said, Mary, she said, I want you on a weekly basis, I want you to contact your grandchildren and I want you over the phone. This is going back a number of years. I want you over the phone. I want you to release blessing over your grandchildren on a weekly basis. Mary Ruth began to spend time with the Lord. She would wait on God and say, God, what is it you want me to release over my grandchildren? What do you want me to say? When God gave it to her, she wrote it down. She phoned her grandchildren. Over the phone, her grandchildren, she would take them one at a time and she would speak over them the words that God gave her to speak. She was releasing blessing, not going, I bless you, but releasing God's words over those kids, weekly speaking it. Her book is about the journey that God gave her, and then the majority of the book at the back is a pile of those things that God gave her to speak, blessings that you can give, because a lot of people don't even know how to speak blessing. Especially in a world where the majority of people, when they open their mouth, out of it comes death and cursing and negative and flesh. To learn how to be a person of blessing, Mary had to learn that, and she wrote it down. I believe that's a book that every young parent should have when they're raising their children. And can I just tell you what impacted me? When I read that book, and I remember, I read that and I thought, here's this lady who lives in the West Coast, her grandchildren in the East Coast. On a weekly basis, she is releasing blessing over her grandkids' lives and impacting. And she talks about as they grew, what happened to them spiritually and how they went on. And I thought, isn't it fascinating? You got parents who've got their children in their own home and aren't releasing blessing. You've got grandparents who have children around them and they're not releasing blessing. Here's a lady who does it across the country and is impacting them spiritually, understanding the power of the blessing. And you got people in their own areas. They're not releasing blessing at all. I thought, wow. Wow, the power of the spoken word. All of us are very aware of the blessing that exists on the Jewish people. Would you agree with me? Is there a question about that? I don't think there's any question. The Jewish people are blessed. In fact, what was the promise that God gave to Abraham? He said, those who bless you, I will what? Bless. Those who curse you, I will do what? Can I just say to you, there is a lot of people today who are being cursed of the Lord. They're being cursed by God because they are cursing the nation of Israel, cursing the people of God, the Jewish. If God's word is true and he says, if you bless them, I'll bless you. If you curse them, I'll curse. There is a pile of cursing going on in our world today. It's one thing to be cursed by a person. It's something different to be cursed by God. You might as well be like the fig tree and just shrivel up and die from the root up. You and I need to be aware there are a pile of people being cursed by God, and their lives are reflecting that as this world gets darker and darker. Let me just say this again. We are entering into a time where every nation is going to turn against Israel, and as a result of abandoning them and cursing them, every nation is going to come under the curse of God. I'm praying we're taken out before we see that. But if not, let me tell you, there are nations that are being cursed today because of their position with Israel. We know the nation of Israel is blessed. The Jewish people are blessed. Craig Hill wrote a little book. I forget the title of it. Somebody will have it. It'll come to me later. He wrote a book about the 100 wealthiest people in the United States of America. 100 wealthiest people in the United States of America. The Jewish population makes up about what percent of the world's population? Like about 0.1, about 0.08, right? Like almost nothing, numbers-wise. Do you know that over half of the wealthiest people in the United States of America are Jewish people? What does that tell you? You don't have to be a big people to be blessed, but if you're blessed, even if you're a little people, it's going to have an impact. Over half the people, wealthiest in the United States, are Jewish people. In the book, he talks all about this, and he talks about the pattern of the wealthy people. But in the book, he talks about one thing, and he says, I believe this is probably the greatest contributor to the blessing on the Jewish people and their position in society and their wealth and doing well. He goes, it's something that happens every Friday night at the Shabbat meal before they go into the Sabbath, something that happens every Friday night in a Jewish home. Can anybody tell me what happens in that home? The blessing. Every Friday evening, they have their meal, and at the end of their meal, the head of the home, the father in that home, speaks over every one of his children and releases blessing into their lives. Speaks over them. Don't answer me out loud, but can I ask you a question? If you were raised in a home where every Friday night, the spiritual head of your home spoke and released blessing and life over you. That's all you heard every Friday. Can I ask you, do you think that would impact your life? We all know the joke, and I remember it like crazy. There was a Jewish father, had a child with him, and he ran into somebody, and he was like, oh, and he introduced himself, and he said, I'd like you to meet my son, the lawyer. And the man looks down at his son. His son was 4 years old. And the Jewish father was already speaking over and saying, hi, I'd like to introduce you to my son, the lawyer. My four-year-old is going to be a lawyer. And he's speaking that over his son. This is my son, the lawyer. This is my son, the lawyer. Can you imagine hearing from God, God's call on your child's life as they're in the womb, and as they are in the womb and they come out of the womb, you just begin speaking over their life. Okay, it might be profession, but it's going to be blessing. It's going to be prosperity. It's going to be excellent marriage. It's going to be health. It's going to be. Can you imagine as a child hearing if God spoke to your parent going, I just want to say you're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be an amazing lawyer. Or you're going to be an author. You're going to be an amazing author. God is going to speak through you. He's going to make books through you. Can you imagine hearing that as a 3, 4, 5, 13, 15-year-old every Friday night? Can you imagine hearing that released over your life? Let me tell you what they hear. Craig Hill writes about this. Every Friday evening, they speak over their kids and goes, you will be blessed financially. You are going to prosper. You will never be in debt. You will be a lender and not a borrower. Can you imagine hearing that as a five-year-old, a seven-year-old? That's all you hear. You, God is going to prosper you. You will be blessed. And can I just say this to you? Words have power whether God's in it or not. Do they? Are there ungodly parents who are cursing their children and wrecking their lives? Words have power. That is just the way God made us. But how much more power if you are releasing God's words as compared to just words? The Jewish people are releasing words, and many of them without God in it. Can you imagine if the body of Christ was releasing God's words over our children and over our marriage and over our churches and over our businesses and over... Can you imagine? That book is fascinating. If you want to know it, we'll find it. We'll get it to you. But imagine the impact that the world would have if the body of Christ did this every week, every week. You will do this. You will be that. You will accomplish this. You will become that. You will experience this. You will. The power of the blessing. Would you turn with me to Genesis chapter 24? I'm going to give you a number of verses here before we close up. Genesis chapter 24. This is the call of Abraham. I'm not going to go through the whole story. But I want you to see this. Genesis chapter 24, the Bible records this. Abraham was now old and well advanced in years. And the Lord had what? The Lord had blessed him in every way. The Lord blessed him in every way. Just kick over to verse 34. Do you remember he sent his servant to go get the wife for his son Isaac? They went and got Rebekah. Look at verse 34. This is the servant saying to Laban, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, manservants, maidservants, camels, donkeys. My master's wife Sarah has bore him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything that he owns. Describing Abraham and the blessing on Abraham's life. Just flip over and would you write down Galatians chapter 3? Just write it down. You can look at it later, but I want to read this to you. In Galatians chapter 3, look what it says. Beginning at verse 6, consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. But then go down to verse 14. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Are you and I meant to experience the blessing of Abraham? And more! Would you turn to me just a couple chapters, Genesis chapter 27. Just write down the verses again, 23 to 40. I want you to go back and look at the blessing Isaac gave to Jacob and Esau. But I want to emphasize the one thing again. The power of the spoken word, even if you are deceived, still has power. That's the power of the blessing. When the blessing landed on Jacob, the blessing had its full effect, and we are seeing the nation of Israel as the result of the blessing that Abraham released over Jacob instead of over Israel, instead of Esau. Can I just ask this question? Just this question? If Jacob is the father of the Jewish people in Israel, and Esau is the father of the Edomites, but more so this, Ishmael is the father of who? the Arab Islam people. Can I ask you a question? If the blessing rests with Isaac and not with Israel, are we seeing, and not with Ishmael, are we seeing that today? We're living in a world where the effect of the blessing and the effect of the curse is clashing. It has for years, but we're seeing it as we enter this time to the end. Just write this down, would you? Numbers chapter 22 and 24. Numbers 22 and 24. We know the story about Balaam. Balak, the king of the Moabites, the Israelites, he'd heard about them. He was afraid of them. He went and he hired Balaam to curse the Israelites. You remember the story? Balaam made the statement, I'm not going with you. Eventually he went with him, but he said, I can only say what God tells me to say. And so as he went, took him to a certain spot, was going to curse, all of a sudden God gave him the words to say. Out of Balaam's mouth came blessing. He blessed Israel. Balak was furious. He goes, I called you, I paid you to curse him, and you're blessing him. Let's go to a different spot. Maybe from over here, it'll be easier to curse him. Go to another spot. God speaks to Balaam. He blesses it. Three times he blesses Israel. I want you to look at that story. Powerful. Would you write down Deuteronomy chapter 28? Many of us know Deuteronomy 28. I don't want to read the whole thing, but I do want to read a couple of things to you. It says this, beginning of verse 1, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commandments, can I ask you a question? Is there any one of us in here who could fully obey the laws of God and keep all his commandments? Is there any one of us in here who could do it? If you have, just raise your hand, would you? We'll turn the service over to you. Here's the deal. You and I have an opportunity to enter into the blessing, not because we've done it right, but because Jesus did it right. Because he kept it perfectly by faith, we are now able to enter into the blessing because Jesus did it right. Look at the blessing. He says this, you'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Where are you going to go that you won't be blessed? The fruit of your womb will be blessed. The crops, your livestock, their herds, the basket, the kneading bowl. We could go down the list. I want you to look at that, but I want you to go back into chapter 27. It begins with, and the Bible is full of this, those who are cursed, this is what they experience. Those who are blessed, this is what they experience. I want you to look at that and go, God, if there's any area in my life where I'm being cursed, I need you to deal with that, remove it. I want to live in the blessing. Would you write down Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22? Proverbs 10, 22. Proverbs 20:22 says this. This is Solomon. He said this, the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble with it. Can I ask you a question? I don't want to, don't raise your hand. How many of you buy lottery tickets? Don't raise your hand. But the people who win lottery tickets, they win the lotteries, they win $1 million now, 17 million. Somebody said the other day, they were rushing there to buy a ticket. They asked me if I buy tickets. I gave them a little sermon. When somebody wins a $3 million, $5 million, $17 million lottery and that wealth comes to them, can I ask you a question? For how many of them is that wealth a blessing? They track the people's lives who win those lotteries, who get that money without working for it, without developing the care. They track their lives. You know, they say within 2 years, almost 100% of those people who win the lottery, their life is in worse condition than it was before. They're in greater debt relationally. Most of them are divorced. Their children have done, they track them. They track them. Can I tell you something? The blessing from the Lord that brings wealth brings no trouble with it. When it comes from the Lord, there's no trouble. When it comes without the Lord, there's trouble. That is a powerful scripture. The blessing of the Lord. And can I tell you why? When a person is blessed of the Lord and then his blessing comes, that wealth does not capture the heart because we go, my heart is God. God, you gave it. God, you can take it away. I will never forget Lorne Cunningham, the founder of YWAM. God blessed him in that ministry. He was given a house to live in. A circumstance rose up. Lorne Cunningham gave the house away. Somebody needed it more than him. And he said, God will provide. And so then another house showed up and Lorne Cunningham traveling all over the world, he's got this house, another circumstance. He gave his next house away. He did this two or three times until his board said, we can no longer give Lorne Cunningham a house because he'll give it away. We can say you can live in there, but it's not yours, Lorne. You can't give away what's not yours. Can I tell you something? You can tell the Grand Canyon difference God has no problem with people being wealthy. God has problem with people loving wealth. I believe part of the reason why there are some incredibly wealthy Christians out there, because it doesn't matter how much money they have, that money doesn't capture their heart. God gave it to me. God can take it away. It doesn't change my relationship with God. I'll tell you what I learned a long time ago. Money doesn't change people. All it does is reveal people. That's all it does. It doesn't change them. It reveals them. When the blessing comes from the Lord, there's no trouble with it. Would you write down Proverbs 26:2? Proverbs 26:2. You can look at it later. I love this one. We'll talk about it more. It says this: a causeless curse cannot alight. That means if I'm living under the blessing and somebody curses me and there is no reason for that curse to land on me, there's no way to get in, they can curse, it falls to the ground, I'm living in the blessing. That blessing is protecting me. We're going to talk about that next week. Dana, is there enough of the praise and worship people still here? Praise and worship team, are you guys able to come? Yep, you come to the front. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 3 John chapter 2. We're ending here. 3 John chapter 2. Very back of your Bible. Many of you know this off by heart. 3 John verse 2. There's only one chapter. 3 John verse 2. This is John speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He says, this beloved. He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. I wish above all things, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, John is writing and saying, above all things, that you would prosper, be in good health, as your soul prospers. What is he saying? I want the blessing for you. If you can, would you say it with me? I am blessed. I am blessed of the Lord. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Dana, can you play quietly? Father, I thank you for the revelation that you have given that has affected every one of our lives. That it is not you who is wanting us to be under the curse, not you who is wanting us to live with less than, not you who is content with us being sick and not having freedom and health in our life. That is not you. We recognize that has been a religious spirit that has been pounded through the pulpits, and we have believed it until the truth came. The power of your blessing to break the curse off of our life. Father, today, as we've been speaking, as you have shown very clearly the contrast between those who live under the curse, those who walk in fear, those who struggle, those who battle, those who have conflict, those who are living with less than. Father, it is not your will. I ask that you'd bring revelation. I ask that you would touch our heart. You have made it so we can remove the curse, step into the blessing. Lord, if there is any one of us in this place, would you just move our heart in order for you to do your thing? And Father, as we have talked today, it is not just that you are wanting us to be a blessed people. You are wanting us to become instruments of blessing in the lives of others. You have given us a tongue. You have given us a mouth. You are wanting us in a world that is full of death, full of curse. You are wanting us to be people who speak blessing. Blessing over other people's lives. Blessing over circumstances. Blessing over nations. Blessing. Father, would you teach us and empower us to become instruments of blessing in the lives of people around us who are dying and needing you? I release a grace over every person who goes back into these scriptures over this next week and month, and Father, maybe for a lifetime. I release a grace as they read them. It would come alive. They would see things they've never seen before. You would speak Rhema words. You would take your logos and turn it into Rhema. And we would be changed by it. I thank you, Father, for the greatest blessing. A person who does not know you is cursed. Doesn't matter about their health, doesn't matter about their finance, doesn't matter about their, it doesn't matter. If they don't know you, they're living under the curse. I thank you for the greatest blessing that we have received, and that is you bringing us to a place of acknowledging our need for you, receiving you as Lord and Savior, you coming alive in our life, and us walking in relationship with you. God, we are blessed. We are prosperous. And I thank you for that. Lord, as this world gets darker, we're asking that you would make us lighter. I ask, Father, that you would release blessing over our lives in such a way that even the blessed would call us blessed. I pray that you would do with us what you did with Abraham, that you would make all those who surround him look at him and be jealous and want to know about his God and how many came and joined him because of the blessing on his life, and they stepped into the blessing. Father, would you make the world jealous of us because of your blessing? And I ask you would protect our hearts as the blessing begins to come in ways that we have never thought or never. God, would you protect our hearts that we don't get seduced by the blessing, but it would just cause us to fall more in love with you, to walk with greater intimacy, greater clarity, greater obedience. I pray, Father, you would prepare all of our hearts as next week we talk about the powerful blessing that you gave to be spoken over your people Israel so that your name could be on them, so that you could bless them. You can only bless what your name is on. And so today, Father, as I release your name over every person under the sound of my voice, I thank you that you will be putting your name on your children so that you might bless us. Would you stand with me this morning? And I want to release over you the blessing, and then we are going to sing the blessing again. I want to declare over you the words of God that he wanted spoken over his people Israel and over his people in relationship with Christ. I release to you the words of the blessing. The Lord bless you today and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and today fill you with his peace. I declare that in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And everybody receiving the name of the Lord on them that he might bless them said,
Amen.
Amen.